Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Billis.
And man, I am excited today.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I'm in a super good mood. Because it's fair season.
I thought you were going to talk about your rubber boots. Got you all excited. Or was that mucklucks?
What?
I can't remember. Insinuating you have a foot fetish.
Oh, okay. Right. So moving on. It's fair season in the Pacific Northwest. Yay! There's basically from June 8th through into mid-September, there's stuff to do in the... Actually, gosh, some of it goes over to almost October. If you're in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, there's fairs almost every weekend coming up. And it's glorious for a Rennie like me. Ten Knife and I are, well, I'm super excited. Ten Knife, well, she's excited that I'm excited. Sure, she likes going, but if I wasn't going, she probably would, other than to, like, visit.
Mm-hmm.
And she certainly wouldn't dress up. Anyway, last weekend, as of you hearing this, the 8th and 9th, start of the Oregon Renaissance Fair in Canby, Oregon. Yay! We're going, went to that, as if you're hearing this, and we're going next weekend, the 15th and 16th. Yay! Super great fair, put on by the people that do the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair in Bonnie Lake in August. So it is high quality entertainment, great vendors, great street performers, great acts, the jousting's good, the food, really, you know... Well, I'm a little sick of meat pies, but hey, you can get a turkey leg there, and that's all that matters. Personal pizzas.
I thought they were like, instead of turkey legs, they were actually a different. It was like emu or something.
Emu, yeah. Now, I'm not saying, now, before anyone says, I'm not saying that the turkey legs you get at Washington Midsummer or at any other fair, Oregon Renaissance Fair or anything, I'm not saying they're emu. This was what I was told by one vendor at one fair. Don't use turkeys, as the emu legs are bigger. Not that it freaking matters. They're emus. The turkeys. It's a turkey leg. Boom. You've got a turkey leg. It's big, it's meaty, and hot and tasty.
So, it's big, it's meaty, it's wood.
Well, there's that. Anyway, so fair is coming, and... Every year I do a show where I go and gush about, oh my God, it's so awesome, fair is here. I think this is the third year in a row on this show that I've done something like this. And you've put up with it for the last 2 years at least. Actually, all three. You're already a part of the show by that point. So you don't go to fairs.
Not as much as you do.
You have, but you don't dress up. I'm sure you don't consider yourself a Rennie.
No.
And I'm here to tell you.
Casual observer.
Yes. I'm here to tell you that as a role player, someone who plays tabletop role playing games, you really should get involved with the Ren Fair scene. I think I've mentioned it before, but here I'd like to go into a little more in depth into why it's so important as a role player to attend and be a part of fair. Or even just a casual observer like you do, but more observation, because you can become a better role player through fair. Now, I know most people say, well, you know, it's live action role playing. Of course you can, but not everyone's into that. And that's fine. Just watch. Like you'd mentioned, Gillis, casual observer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Pay attention to all those vendors. Now, sure, they're not most of the time doing this, you know, full-on shtick, super in character, but that's fine. They don't have to. They're still vending. They're being authentic. Not authentic in they're exactly like the 15th century they would be. No, they're real vendors exchanging coin for item, and they're trying to be in character, but they're just like you. Maybe they're not as experienced as some vendors are, but they're doing their best. And just do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got people at a tabletop game that, like, for example, Ten Knife, my wife, she is a little uncomfortable doing the role-playing, talking, you know, actually being deeply in character. She has a really hard time with that. Not that she's a bad role player. It's she's uncomfortable being in the spotlight.
All right. And I try to keep her out of the spotlight as much as possible.
Exactly. But it's hard. She plays a paladin. So there's going to be a lot of spotlight aiming towards that armor.
And I did warn her about that.
Exactly. But one way to help with that is to interact in real life. Trying to, okay, you go into a fair and you're playing a, well, she usually wears you more of a commoner's outfit. She's someone coming to fair. Have that mindset in there and try to speak. She does try to speak in like a 15th century English accent, but we all know it's not authentic, but it's the best she can do. It's better than I can do for sure. And just do little interactions. Buy something from a vendor and you both are sitting there trying to keep in your in character, both of you trying to speak in this English accent. And then you'd come away from that back to the table, back to the next session a few weeks later. And just do that. When the game master is, or dungeon master is, role-playing as a vendor and you're going to wanting to buy some, let's say, healing potions. Okay. And remember that vendor that you bought the turkey leg from, or the cute little bauble, or whatever. And just do that. People underestimate so much. They underestimate how live action role-playing, actually being out there in the world and playing a character, just trying to not, you know, oh, fully embody it, but just trying to do that while you're enjoying a street fair, which effectively what a Ren fair is. It's just a street fair. You got some unusual vendors selling kind of cool stuff. You got people out there playing around in the street, and you got some of, you know, performers. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just do that when you're at the table, just trying to mimic that interaction a little bit is going to make you better, because then you go around and you do this some more. And then when you go back to fair, you're a little more bold. You're a little more comfortable in your skin. And you go up to that vendor the next time they're around and you go up there and you're a little more comfortable with doing that accent, with portraying the character you're portraying. And maybe they are able to pick up something from that interaction and improve their skills. It's all about just going out there and doing it. Now, people say, oh, well, you know, you could just, you know, do it at home. Sure.
You can.
But it's better when you're, you know, let's think of it this way. When you're doing tabletop role playing, you're not going to go home and practice.
Not normally.
Mostly, your practice, quote unquote, is from role playing with the rest of your group. And for us, we role play at best once a month. Maybe if we're lucky, twice.
Life does have a tendency to intrude.
Exactly. We're all adults and it's hard to get everybody together. We're scattered over a 50-mile radius.
Well, I wouldn't say we're all adults.
Well, we're mostly. Point is,
chronologically, yes.
Yes. But we've had players who just showed up for a few times and left. We've had others that have come in later. And I'm sure we'll have people come and go over time. But moreover, it's hard to be able to get any experience doing your character and actually role-playing when you do it so infrequently. But when you're at Renaissance Fair, if you go in with the right mindset of, hey, I'm going to role play as this character, and I'm going to not, I don't have to stay in character all the time, but I'm just going to, when somebody comes up to me, a street performer, and they're doing a bit, interact, because they do that. They come up to people in the crowd, and they do a little bit. Like one person I was told about, there's this bit where you have a child, or not always a child, but they'll run up and go, sir, I have a message for you from the queen. And then they fall over dead, and they hand you a piece of paper, and on it is, you know, some quick little note that you have to go talk to somebody. But just that little bit and how you respond to it is going to be able, that is, think of it as you're at your table again, and your GM has told you, your game master has told you, someone, a courier, runs up to you, hands you a thing, and then they fall over dead from poison. Oh no, how do you respond? It's the same thing, only now you're in person. And now you're probably incredibly embarrassed. Probably have people looking and whatnot. Well, it's just like your character is in the village. And now you have people looking around. You're the last person that interacted with this guy that just fell over dead. Oh no, maybe the constables are coming to find out what's causing all the hubbub. How do you react? What do you do? Do you crumple up the paper, light it on fire, and run away? Do you then interact with the constables? Oh no, he just ran me this paper that's supposed to be secret. What do you do? So many different ways you can handle that. And it's all practice. You can take away from that interaction. Even if you just stand and laugh and, oh, that was funny, that's cool, and you walk away, you can take that interaction and use it for a later date.
Yep.
But then again, also from the game master's point of view, just casually observing, like you said, walk around. Be in plain clothes. Just don't interact with anybody. I'm sure somebody will come up and interact with you at some point, but most of the time, go to a vendor to buy something. There's an interaction. But you don't have to interact back. You can be the strange person from another village who doesn't follow our ways and has strange clothing. Fine. Just be a sponge. Pick up all of this live action role playing. Because here's your village for later times. You have, I know people just go from vendor to vendor to vendor and think they're all the same. I'll guarantee you they're not. I know a couple different vendors that are completely curmudgeon-y. I know a leather worker. We are friends with them. We go and see them every year. Went out to dinner with them last year. Great people. The guy who is the main leather worker, he'll sit there and he'll snarl at people. He's rude and he's hilarious. And you just look at him and go, that's my curmudgeon-y blacksmith right there. Because, you know, everyone goes, oh, they're all hateful. And, oh, why? No, they want your money. They don't want, you know, get insulted and leave. But that doesn't mean he wants you hanging around either.
Yeah.
Do your business. Well, go away.
And yes. Another thing is that one of the few fairs that I've been to, there's this body juggler. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to mention names because, you know, maybe he doesn't want his name mentioned. But his routine could be incorporated into a bard.
Oh, absolutely.
With very little change. I mean, just the whole innuendo over the top performance. That could be, you know, if you want to put on a show for a tavern to pay for your, you know, room and board for the night, or however you want to do it, you could go into that shtick.
Yeah.
So easily. Well, and it would make the game session that much more enjoyable.
Sure. Well, here's the thing, though. I'm going to tell you, I know that body juggler.
I know.
And I've interviewed him for a previous podcast. Great guy. But here's the thing. He is a bard. He tells jokes and he juggles, but he is a bard in the most classic sense of the word. Uh-huh. I mean, he does performance. And I've sat and watched. I've seen his routine dozens of times over the last 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And I there's almost never anything new. Same jokes, same thing. And I could see in the crowd at his performances, many people I've seen there year after year after year, and everyone laughs. Everyone's having a great time. But they have to actually, at the event he goes to, which is in July, for our area, they actually have to put him at a stage where he's big enough and away from the road enough that it doesn't block traffic through the village at their old original site.
Oh, I know. He used to block the aisle, and he had to keep stopping his routine to tell people to, not block off the other vendors.
Everybody, crowd on in, because the vendors can't do any work. Because literally, there would be 20 people, 30 people. By the time he was done, hundreds of people uh-huh. are crowding in. This is an event that has thousands of people attending day. At least a third of them would be at his performance.
Oh, yeah.
Crowded in. There's not nearly enough seating just to watch him perform. And you can't, bards have spells where they can entrance large groups as long as they're performing and as long as there's nobody being attacked. That's what he was doing. It's the living embodiment. You're like sitting there, well, I'm a game master. And I need to, really embody what this bard, my NPC bard, is. It doesn't matter if they're singing, or telling jokes, or telling stories like a raconteur. Being able to describe that person singing or playing a song, and how this little crowd just around you becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger, being able to describe that to the players when they look around and the person has to stop their song or in between songs and say, please, everyone, come in, crowd in, there's plenty of room over here. Please make some room for this elderly gentleman to sit down. Please squeeze in. You're blocking the street.
Well, and even more than just the actual performance, his after the performance is over, how he's, playing to the crowd to get more tips.
Yes.
He's got this little tiny hat that when he pulls it off and yanks on it, it becomes this long hat, so he can, add more money to the thing because, fill the hat. And he just keeps making the hat longer.
It's fairly awesome. And the girls, because there'll be a crowd when he's done going to give him money. Uh-huh. And the girls, they stick the dollars or whatever they're giving him in their cleavage, and he'll go down and bite it out.
Uh-huh.
It's hilarious to watch, and he's a super good guy. We always make sure to visit at least one of his performances a day and drop him a big tip, because he's super entertaining. He and the Joust are why you go to that event. Sure, there's other people there. Sure, there's vendors I know and love to go visit, and that's why we're going to that fair again this year. We didn't go last year, but we're going to this one again because, primarily, I haven't had my body juggler fix in 2 years. It's time to go see him again. Plus, it's incredibly close, and I don't want to drive to Washington again. We had to stay in a hotel to go to that one. But it was a good fair. I'm not saying we're going to go again. Anyway, point is, as a game master, as a dungeon master, going to these events is a massively great idea for you.
Uh-huh.
I know, people say, oh, well, you could just get the same thing from watching something on TV or whatever. Sure.
You technically could, but there's a difference between learning something from a book and learning something by experiencing it.
Bingo. Going out
there. Book learning's great. Book learning is the heart and soul of education. But practical use?
Yes.
You get that through experiencing it.
Right. So
your practical skills? Oh yeah.
As a dungeon master, I could go out there as a casual observer and I can speak to vendors, street performers, and other people there at the event. Just patrons. People that are there dressed up in garb. They're not associated with the fair. They're just there to have fun and be in character. That's what Ten Knife and I. And you can go out there and interact with these people or just watch. Just watching, you can see and go, hey, that guy that's selling all the pirate gear, that is a vendor. He's got certain personality traits that I want to use for a vendor later on. Or I've seen this interaction with this street performer, and damn, that's a great adventure hook. I'm going to use that. But also, listening. Not everybody, you know, you say, oh, everyone's trying to do these fake 15th century accents. No. At one fair that I've gone to in the past, there's a guy who shows up as the Spanish envoy. And he's always trying to win the hand of the queen. And it's almost always Queen Elizabeth. And he dresses up in what appears to be, well, it's in the style of a Spanish conquistador type armor. Helmet, the breastplate, all that. But it's like the stuff you would wear to court. It's, you know, not, obviously not meant for combat. It is the shiny stuff that a Spanish envoy would wear to go to an audience with the Queen of England. Or that sort of thing. Go see the King of Spain, all that. This is the style, the hose and all that. It looks great. And he performs a wonderful character that you can just go, bam, there's my envoy from this other country. And yeah, maybe you try to do, like most people do, dwarves with a Scottish accent. Well, maybe this country, people that live there, have more Spanish accents. Mm-hmm. Maybe they, you know, it doesn't matter. Do French, you could do whatever. And yes, it's, you know, bringing real world stuff into your game, but it doesn't matter. You're just trying to perform a character. A character that will stick in the minds of your players. Yep. Remember, as Dungeon Master, you're supposed to be role-playing your NPCs. Well, here
Which
are...
Which is hard to do some days.
Sure it is. But there are hundreds, if not at some fairs, thousands of examples to take from. That wench over there at that particular tavern. She's, you know, most of them just wear the low-cut little peasant blouse and the, you know, colorful dress. You know, maybe they have some of the little jingly belt around them like a belly dancer would have. Yeah, you know, they do something. Maybe this one did something a little different with her makeup and hair that sticks in your mind and goes, that's how I'm going to describe my half-elven bar wench in the next town. And you'll see fairies. You'll see all kinds of stuff at fair, depending on what weekend you go. Sometimes they'll have special ones for steampunk. Sometimes they'll have a special weekend for just everything. That's where you see Darth, you know, the Darth Vader in a Renaissance form. That's where you'll see all the Trekkies show up. That sort of thing. And that's great. These are all things you could take and incorporate into your game. I'm not saying having Trekkies, but having unique... Every town doesn't have to be the same. Do something unique as you go from region of the country to the region of the country, because maybe a mountainous town is going to be a lot different than one down at the, you know, at a seaport. They have different lives. The miners up in the mountains, miners and lumberjacks, they have a totally different lifestyle than the people that live in the seaport. You have lots of different people coming and going through the seaport. Up there in the mountains, it's very inclusive. It's very closed off. Maybe they're very suspicious of others. You could take some of those, that curmudgeon-y leather worker I was talking about. Take some of that and put that into the characters you have up there at that village when your players arrive. There's so much you can learn just from going to a Ren Fair. It's so amazing. I will go to at least four times a year. I'm going to a Ren Faire because it makes me better as a role player. Plus, they're fun as hell. Sorry, I've been babbling for half an hour about this, but it's just too awesome. Go to your local Ren Faire, damn it.
I've got nothing to say to that.
By the way, we need to drag you to one. I know. Yeah. You haven't been to Oregon Renaissance Fair yet. I know you've been up to Canterbury in July.
Uh-huh.
And that's fun. It's dusty, but fun, right? That's where that body juggler is. Well, Oregon Renaissance Fair is in Canby.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the fairgrounds. So you have really nice parking. And it's all under the trees, for the most part, except for the jousting and the food area. But they have covered seating for
the... Oh, that would be cool. Jousting in the trees.
You can't really get to high speed.
Hidden duck. I don't know how they're going to get that helmet off.
But they also have really nice seating because it's a horse. You know, it's the, like, where they have the rodeos and whatnot. So there's bench seating for a joust, which is better than most fairs. Are lucky to find a hay bale to sit on. I'm super tired. Anyway, you need to go. Super fun. We'll go with. Anyway, point is, there are do a Google search for your state and Renaissance Fair. You're almost guaranteed to find something nearby you at least once a year that you can go attend. Some are better than others. Some are bigger than others. But that doesn't matter. It could be a tiny little Renaissance Fair. We used to go to one that was around Mother's Day every year. It'd be one weekend. It was at this little park in the middle of Toledo, Oregon. And so it's down over by Newport. And you can see the whole city around you. So immersion, not so much. But they had really good performers. They had vendors. No joust, but they always had a sword fighting exhibition. And it was tiny, but it didn't matter. Because you don't care about the size. You care about the quality of what's going on. Interaction.
She said.
I know. But the interactions are what's important. Observing or taking part in little role-playing moments. It could be as simple as buying a cup by a decorated tankard from a vendor. Buying a nice piece of leather, maybe a belt with a sword frog on it. So you attach get a sword, wear it at your hip. Little things like that. Buying a pair of boots. Talking to a street performer, watching the belly dancers and interacting with them, interacting with their announcer, that sort of thing. Watching some musicians and going, that is what I'm going to describe the musicians in my next tavern as being like. All this can be incorporated into you, even if it's a little tiny fair in the middle of town, just incorporating these little bits into your next event, your next game. So good. So worthwhile. One of the major reasons why I would say a couple in our gaming group also goes to fairs every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do a lot. They dress up, but they don't do a whole lot of interacting. Don't do a whole lot of performing, but they're there because just dressing up provides ambiance, helps the fair feel more alive, feel more like an authentic event. If everybody's wearing, plain clothes, except for the performers, that's not as much fun when you have more people dressing up, even if they're buying clothes on site, which you can do at most fairs. You can buy a poet shirt, pair of breeches, boots, or sandals, and bam, there you go. You're in garb. And this has been my annual go to fair, goddammit, show.
Not to beat you over the head or anything.
Oh, no. I'm not a being subtle at all about it, am I?
Militant much?
No, but anyway. It is really a good idea. It really is.
It can be helpful, yes.
Or you can just watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but that gives people unrealistic expectations.
Okay. Go watch The Tudors, which was a 4-season television show. For those of you who don't know, it's really good. And it had Superman in it.
And you're supposed to be hyping it up, not bringing it down.
Hey. Henry Cavill was a really good actor, but he was in a really bad movie with really horrible script, with a bad director. So, Joss Whedon's okay, but he was left a mess. Zach, whatever his name was from...
Snyder,
yeah. I liked Watchmen, but overall, I have not
been... Even Watchmen, he screwed up.
Yeah. But my point is, Henry Cavill is a good middle-of-the-road actor. He did a great job on The Tudors. He wasn't even the star. He was just one of the side characters. But he had an important role. But he was, you know, good and believable. Not so much as Superman, but whatever. Why do you think Batfleck was so upset in the interviews? He just looked so sad when people were talking and asking him about Batman v Superman. He looked like someone had just killed his puppy. And no, not going John Wick on them. He looked honestly sad because he knew it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but they gave him that big payday. He had to do Justice League 2. And that was, well, he did as best as he could. They all did.
I get to see Justice League.
Oh, yeah. It's better than Batman v Superman.
That's not saying much because it was a truly terrible movie.
Yeah, I know.
Martha! Why did you say that name?
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you're going with.
And suddenly we're friends now. Yeah. So anyway, do you have any final thoughts?
For the most part, DC movies suck.
Wonder Woman was good.
Yes, and I hear Aquaman and Shazam are good too.
Oh, no. You haven't seen Aquaman?
No.
Oh my God, dude. It's the biggest, stupidest film ever. It's so much stupid fun.
Well, maybe that's what they need.
Have you've seen some of the Fast and the Furious movies, right?
One or two.
Yeah.
Not that memorable.
You shut your brain off and you watch the big, stupid spectacle in front of you and you have fun. You eat popcorn and you have fun. And afterwards, you can turn your brain back on and not think too hard about it. That's Aquaman. Only... really fucking big. It's riding around on giant dinosaur shark things in this massive battle. And then he comes out and he's riding Cthulhu. It's so fucking cool. I swear to God, it's the biggest, funnest DC movie ever.
That's not saying a whole lot because, like
I said, it's better than half the Marvel films.
Fuck. Yes, but better than half of the Marvel movies.
Oh, I would.
There's a lot of Marvel movies, and a lot of them were horrible.
Well, there's like 23 of them, but I would say most of them are really fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is super blow your eyes out fun, and you're like, oh my God, this is the dumbest thing ever. But don't think too hard. Eat your popcorn, shut up, and watch Jason Momoa be awesome. That's all you got to do. If you think about it in the moment, stop. And just watch the damn film. Look, oh, the big explosions and colors. It's like, where the hell's Vin Diesel? I'm expecting Vin Diesel to show up at any moment in a big black car and, you know, do stupid things. Yeah, it's like that. It's Fast and the Furious underwater with Jason Momoa and giant dinosaur sharks.
So it's
it's pretty fucking cool, really. So anyway,
I
yeah.
I believe you.
Watch some Aquaman. It's worth the trouble. And you'll think about it later and you'll go, but that doesn't make any sense. No. Stop thinking. You don't think when it comes to Aquaman. You just watch the spectacle. And what does this have to do with Renaissance fairs? Not a goddamn thing. But if I'm...
we got sidetracked.
If I'm going to, you know, push going to Renaissance fairs, well, I might as well go all out. Anyway, boy, we're over time again.
Yep.
Oh, no amount of editing's gonna fix this. I don't care.
Nope, not in the slightest.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, Oregon Renaissance Fair is coming up next weekend, as of you're hearing this. Second weekend is going to be the 15th and 16th at Canby, Oregon. Go look them up at, you know, look up Google for Oregon Renaissance Fair. Not Oregon Renaissance Festival. That doesn't exist. Oregon Renaissance Fair. Look that up. You'll find their Facebook page. You'll find their website. It's awesome. Check it out. And until next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
And my throat hurts. Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.